Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Big Daddy Liberty, well, you got him. He's on the line talking about the Israel-Gaza protest that took place yesterday at the Bayahat building. A very, very good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Howard, and good morning to your listeners.
You have a voice in a lot of different areas in terms of what's going on in South Africa, in terms of what's going on in Israel, also talking about your conversion process. Like, there's so much that you deal with. How do you manage to balance all of these things without it sometimes getting to you? Because if I get the amount of negativity and awful feedback that I get, I can only imagine what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a wonderful balance of passion and prayer. I only pursue things that I really care about and things that literally build on my character, things that create happiness. So as you said, South Africa and her people are exactly what I care about. Israel is exactly what I care about. And of course, underpinning all of this is the idea of creating a free, prosperous, property-owning and non-racial society in both societies. So those are the things that drive me, Howard. And funny enough, just to slightly segue into what happened yesterday, yesterday is a good example of that. You know, you literally saw a coalescing of all of God's people who literally love Israel from different corners of our society, whether it is the various Christian groupings. I mean, there's quite a few pastors there and congregants. You know, in a country that was 97% Christian, as South Africa is, we need to always remind ourselves that actually South Africans are deeply, deeply Zionist. They love the state of Israel. And often what we're seeing or conflating is the political elites, large pockets of the mainstream media, and really the anti-Israel and rather anti-Semitic lobbies who just happen to be the loudest voices in the room, but they're definitely not the largest voices in the room. So yesterday was a reaffirmation of that, where you just saw a broad spectrum of individuals, various Jewish organizations coming together at Bayahat. And again, what underpinned it was just love and a celebration of a country that we all recognize is, you know, one of the few democracies, the only democracy in the Middle East, and one which accords rights and freedoms to everybody who lives there. So it's those small things, Howard, that we need to remind ourselves, especially those of us who are advocates for Israel.
Absolutely true. What is so difficult at the moment, and I was speaking a little bit earlier on the show as well to the National Director for Bridges for Peace, and I asked him this question. I said that there's an immense amount of cognitive dissonance that is being employed across mainstream media, social media. It's very, very difficult to ignore who Hamas is and what they're doing and what they stand for and what they represent and what they're doing to the people of Gaza as well as the people of Israel. But somehow we seem to, not we, but I say we in terms of the broader South African and media around the world, we seem to comfortably ignore that. What do you think that is?
Yeah, it's actually kind of, it's amusing in the worst way possible, yeah, in the sense that I've vlogged about this on my show, Vlog 97, and I spoke about it, and I intentionally phrased it this way. And I said, you know, if you are an individual who claims to be for Palestine or pro-Palestine, whatever that may mean in your own sense of things, because I personally don't necessarily believe a Palestine exists, I still think we need to see Palestinians establish themselves in a political sense and not necessarily vote in terrorist organizations. But that's another conversation for another day.
Right.
But I would say this. If you're someone who believes that a Palestine exists and you're arguing for its existence, then you've got to be the loudest voice in condemning the likes of Hamas, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or Fatah, or any of these avowed terrorist organizations who openly state that their existence is about the destruction of not only another country, but also the people who live there based on their ethnicity. Like, you have to be the loudest voice. But what we're seeing in in this whole discussion, unfortunately. And the political elites in this country play into that. And of course, the mainstream media play into that, is the so-called pro-Palestinian lobby infantilizing Palestinians and arguing from a position of this eternal victimhood. And because they use those two things, they then absolve themselves of having to do the responsible thing or the adult thing, which is to call out, the violence, to call out the evil often that comes, the anti-Semitic evil that often comes from that side of the debate. And you don't see that because, again, they're employing this weird tactic of luring people in, luring unsuspecting people in to their lobby, with the use of the sort of infantilized notion of who Palestinians are and, of course, the victimology. And that's what you need to call out, because at the end of the day, and this is something I'll make on Wednesday's show, the point I'll make on Wednesday's show, this is classical sort of critical race theory type language, where because you are appropriating a victim status or you're arguing that you're defending the oppressed group, you can then say anything and do anything you want to the supposed oppressor. And that's what we're seeing in this debate, is the Palestinian side using these sort of critical race theory type tactics, and arguing that because Israel is, quote, an oppressor, we can say anything we want and excuse the behavior of even some of the most vile amongst us who say actual anti-Semitic things and hateful things, including, by the way, as a final thought, yesterday, when we did see finally the arrival of the convoy of the pro-Palestine lobby, I'll just call them pro-Palestine lobby, because they're a broad spectrum and a gaggle, really, of people. Mm. There were incidents and cases where a lot of the people amongst that grouping were carrying the actual flags of avowed terrorist groupings, anti-Semitic groupings that actually have openly stated, for example, like a leader of one Hezbollah had said, was it Hamas? I might be crossing the two. He had once said, I want Jews actually to be in one place, namely Israel, so that it makes it easier for me to kill all of them. These are the sort of things that these people have said, and you saw the flags of their organizations being waved by the pro-Palestine lobby yesterday. Tell me, Howard, how that is not an overt threat to Jewish communities here in South Africa. And these are supposedly the pre-Free Palestine lobby. So again, you talk about cognitive dissonance, it's exactly this. In that same crowd, another guy I saw held a sign saying being pro-Palestine doesn't equal anti-Semitism. And right next to him is a guy holding a Hezbollah flag and a Palestinian Islamic Jihad sign. Again, it's these contradictions that we need to call out.
Absolutely. It's just incredible because, but we're seeing this employed across mainstream social media, the Ready Clubbies of the world, Eusebius Makhazas, the people who are quite comfortable defending this type of thing as a reaction. I guess it's because once you're oppressed, then you can do anything, I guess.
That's right. I mean, it's literally textbook critical race theory and really critical theory thinking. And this is something I talk a lot about on my show on purpose.
Right.
On my show, I purposely go into these theoretical underpinnings so that people understand often what they're hearing from the political elites and various vested interest groups who argue like this, right? Who basically say vile things, but then walk it back by saying, well, you know, you can't blame me for saying all of these evil and vile things because, you know, I'm within a victim status of some sort. I mean, if you're a South African, then you know this based on what politicians or House politicians speak about race, for example, where, again, there's this weird infantilizing and victimology appropriated, for example, about black people in order to attack white South Africans, just as an example. But in this particular case, in terms of the Palestinian lobby, we're definitely seeing a weird and rather dangerous reemergence, a resurgence, if you will, of the Palestinian lobby, who for a while, I think those of us who stand with Israel had rightly began to eviscerate and show as being rather a nefarious and evil lot in some cases. For example, there's quite a few successes in the past 3 years of countries around the world designating BDS, that's the Boycott, Divest and Sanction Organization, as being supporters of terrorist organizations, rightly.
Absolutely.
But again, they're on the ascendancy now because of what's happening.
Because of the, around the world, unfortunately.
You know, at the moment. But again, we need to be the loudest voice. Those of us who are the pro-Israel lobby need to actually reassert ourselves as being the loudest and really the majority voice, because we are.
Absolutely right. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Big Daddy Liberty, thank you for all of the incredible work and for being the voice that you are.